Blog Talk Radio.
Well, well, my brothers and sisters, yes, indeed, we are back. Yes, indeed, we're back again. Thank the Most High. Oh, yes, thank the Most High, indeed. We're back again. Back again for another episode, a very precious episode. Yes, another very, very, very important, precious episode of Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I'm your host, Edemiah of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. So indeed, very, very thankful to the Most High for the opportunity. Yes, indeed, for the opportunity to be back with you here again. Speak these very, very precious words. I said these very, very precious words. The Most High has granted me, yes indeed, the Most High has granted me for the blessing, yes, for the blessing of His people. The Most High has told me, yes indeed, He has told me, directly He has told me that I have for Him some very important, I said very, very important thing for Him to do. And He told me because of what I must do, He said that yes, indeed, I would accrue some very powerful friends. Yes, some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But He told me, yes, indeed, He told me that in doing for Him that which He has asked of me, I would have His protection, His guidance. For that, yes, my brothers and sisters, for that precious promise, I'm utmost thankful. The Most High told me that I must tell you things. Yes, indeed, that I must tell you things that men have done everything they could. Since the dawn of human fall, my brothers and sisters, to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence, and if they could, yes, if they could, to destroy. Well, I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, tonight we have some very precious things to talk about. I would even go as far as to tell you this, that the Most High has every right. Did you hear me? The Most High, without question, has every right to redeem His world unto Himself and to give it over unto the authority of whom He will. I will even go as far as to tell you, my brothers and sisters, there's no question about it, that quite frankly, all this world has done to hide the truth of the gospel has quite frankly been about man. Has been about man having sought to claim his own, if you will, authority in the earth, declaring his own kingdoms, or so he says, his own governments, declaring his own religions, resisted many times against what the Most High Himself has promised, and all the rulers, my brothers and sisters, in so many ways doing violence against the Most High, for refusal to make full admission to all the Most High has said. I said refusal to make full admission of all the Most High has said concerning how not only that He would redeem this world, but how He would do so. I want you to hear me, my brothers and sisters. Most High told me this morning that for all that I have spoken to you, And some of you have been listening to this show for some time. For all that I've spoken to you, the Most High said in a lot of ways, I've declared a lot of things rather euphemistically. In other words, in fact, that's exactly the word he used. I've declared a lot of things rather euphemistically in a way. Let's just say I could have related some things, perhaps in a way that many might have considered somewhat harsh, very frank and to the point. And I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, I sometimes seek to declare things to you in such a way that I try to relate enough foundation. I said relate enough foundation whereby men will be much more prepared to understand the rationality of what I would speak, what I oftentimes would seek to tell, seek to reveal. Brothers and sisters, if I told you how the Most High oftentimes just relates points to me that he knows because I have other perceptions, I say a lot of former knowledge already in my head, you can just lay it out on the line. But my brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you, a lot of folks simply don't have those points. They don't have that foundation. In fact, the prophecy said in Isaiah 28, that's exactly what will be the case in this world today. So much so that the scripture says when Messiah reveals the truth line upon line, precept upon precept, most have never even heard the lines, never heard the particulars necessary to connect the dots. They've never even heard the dots. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, quite frankly, I'm going to tell you how it is. Most High is very angry at the present situation that is in this world. Just a matter of fact, men have broken divine command to such a degree that it's become so commonplace that men haven't even begun to understand the dimension to which they have been completely, in so many ways, abjectly disobedient. Because what they see men do every day, they call a standard. Men judging according to what their eyes see and what their ears hear, not realizing that it is all, in some of the ways, a misrepresentation. Have just looked at what other people have done and sit back and say, it must be okay. Because the people that the world is taught to trust perform these treacheries, these hypocrisies on a regular basis, not only as an agenda, my brothers and sisters, but even as an avocation. Most High has shown me a lot of things. He's put me in position to hear a lot of things from a lot of pastors that they won't just tell everybody. Cornered a lot of pastors with a lot of questions. Some to the extent where some point blank told me, yes, they're teaching paganism. You get my point? Yes, they're hiding the truth. Yes, they're misrepresenting the truth. But there are lies. They didn't call them that directly. You might well say that's what it is. False doctrines that people have wanted to believe. And they have gone to seminary schools, universities, whatever, to learn how to preach those doctrines, knowing that if the people are willing to buy it, full well understanding that they are willing to sell it. We're not talking about integrity here, my brothers and sisters. Can't tell you how many pastors have told me point blank. Don't you know for us, they told me, Ed. Don't you know for us, they said. Pastors speaking about themselves. That for them it's not about what the Bible has to say. It's about them performing their profession. Let me tell you straight out. Many years ago when I first heard that from a pastor, first time I heard it, I said the first time I've heard it, not the only time. The first time I was told that, I remember being so incensed that the only thing I could do in that situation was take my hands, put them in the back pockets of my jeans, and let my fists ball up inside my back pockets. Because I knew that if a man could be so treacherous, knowing full well what he's doing, saying things to me like, "Yes, I'm preaching paganism," he said. Told me outright what he knew he was teaching, but told me that I'm the only one that knows it. Then got in his, well, I put it to you like this. He was wearing a white top hat. White hat, white suit, white tie, white shirt, white pants under his white suit, white socks and white shoes. Walked right outside, hopped into his white on white in white Cadillac, and I watched him drive off with a smirk on his face. Well, my brothers and sisters, you ever stop to consider these people there and find it amusing that so many people, as they told me, are not going to understand the kind of things that I would teach you, tell you. And I've heard from Most High himself. He said most of you are not going to catch it. And they feel like most people wouldn't believe it anyway. So they've said things to me like, how many folks do you got to understand that? And then went as far as to say, if you get people to understand that, then we will come and help you. Really? But meantime, you're going to keep on teaching the same old lies. I see a lot of people, my brothers and sisters, not willing to talk to you about what indeed is the responsibility of someone the Most High calls. And it's obvious to me the Most High didn't call them. Because they knew some of the things the Most High has told me. There's no way they can keep their mouths silent. There's no way they can teach another agenda. And if they can do such a thing, having heard, then hell is what they deserve anyway. Just the way it is. I'd like to read a scripture to you, my brothers and sisters. Genesis 47:10. And I'm going to say again tonight, much of what this is all about the right of the Most High to declare what he will and do with this earth what he has promised according to his purpose and unto his glory. It said the scepter should not depart from Judah. In other words, the promise of a scepter should not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet. I say the promise of a lawgiver between his feet until Shiloh come. Who is Shiloh? Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Binding his foal unto the vine, and his ass's coat unto the choice vine, he washed his garments with wine, his clothes, and the blood of grapes. His eyes should be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk. All my brothers and sisters, so many of these statements here are intimations. What the scriptures have to say about Messiah in Revelation 19. The one whom Most High sins, his discipline like a rod of iron. His mouth, his words, like a sharp two-edged sword that cuts both ways, both the righteous and the wicked, and still relates an absolute point. That regardless of where people are, they still have an adjustment to make, my brothers and sisters, if they are going to be true to his righteousness. All these scriptures, my brothers and sisters, how many understand the scriptures that talk about in Revelation 14 and Revelation 19 about the winepress? The scriptures also in Isaiah 63. The scriptures often talk about the idea about how the fury of the Most High. Yes, my brothers and sisters, because many refuse to listen. I say because many refuse to listen. The scriptures speak of Messiah saying, and the blood of men has he stained all his raiment. I know what scriptures I'm talking about. I'm talking about Isaiah. Isaiah 63. Got more to talk about this than these things here, because I'm still just tapping on the surface. Believe me, my brothers and sisters, I'm still just tapping on the surface about these things. Scriptures, Isaiah 63. Who is this that comes from Edom? With dyed garments from Bosra. Him that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore thou art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat. The wine grape, let's say the fat of the juice of the grapes. And scriptures must say Messiah himself will come forth, saying, I've trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. And I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my gardens, upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. For when I looked, I saw there was no one to help, or one there was none to uphold, that for my own arm brought salvation unto me, and my righteousness, it upheld me. Brothers and sisters, the scripture says Messiah. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Messiah does not come, my brothers and sisters, to give any special claim to any institution of man as presently it exists. All prophecy relates to Messiah comes because the Most High awakens him, because as Isaiah 59 said, if you go back and look at these scriptures that we just read to find out where they came from, Isaiah 59 particularly, might as well look at this real quickly because I need to move through this topical matter I want to talk about tonight very swiftly once we get started with this. We're still just getting the touch on the surface. Isaiah 59 speaks of the reason why the Most High says Messiah. Isaiah 59 says the way of peace they know not. There's no judgment in their going. They made themselves crooked paths. Whoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Isaiah 59, going to the 15th verse. Again, the reason why Messiah is sent. Say, yea, truth fails. In other words, truth is, some texts say truth is hid. When men have called truth as far short of the mark. Holy Spirit says, teach all things, no lie in it, bringing all things to remembrance. Restoring the mind to the reception or discerning of all truth. But we see a society today, my brothers and sisters, that is vastly divided. It's only because there's a multitude of lies that infected the minds of the people. In fact, I tell you, you got 45,000 denominations in the world all teaching something different. That's 45,000 lies because they all in some way have truths. Scripture speaks of a foundation. The whole world is ignored. If the world, whole world, my brothers and sisters, has been blind to that gospel, even the blind to the gospel of him whom the Most High said he would send, by which he would redeem this world, that he would give it unto him, one who was faithful and just. If the whole world has dared to misrepresent that one after their own allegiances, then a whole world, my brothers and sisters, has done violence against the law of the Most High. The whole world has done violence against the gospel and kept people definitely in bondage. Because if you trust in any institution that won't tell you all the Most High forswore that his people must come to know, and that those who would be called true to him must teach. If they kept you subject to any such institution, it was tribulation, it was bondage, my brothers and sisters. And the scripture says the gospel is here. It's here to them that are lost. Misled. Blind leading the blind. They both fall in the pit. How about far short of the mark? Nobody's made whole, my brothers and sisters, when the truth is still yet hidden from them. What does the scripture say in Isaiah 59? He saw there was no man. Well, 59:15, yea, truth is his. He that departs from evil or would turn men from evil makes himself a prey. The Most High saw it and it displeased him that there was no justice, no judgment, not even no discernment of it. And he saw that there was no man and one that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him and his righteousness sustained him. He put on righteousness as a breastplate, of helmet of salvation upon his head. How about the whole world? Even the whole world, my brothers and sisters, the whole world has ignored. He put on vengeance for clothing, clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, according to he will repay. What about if a man's works is found imperfect? Does he expect a perfect reward? Fury to his adversaries, fear to whoever would blind the people not to discern what indeed pleases the Most High, the truth of the fullness of his covenant. Believe me, my brothers and sisters, no matter of ink and junk thought is true to what he declared. Must become the victory, must become the wisdom of his people. In discerning the truth, the whole world would hide. There's a reason why the Messiah said, your righteousness must exceed that of your rulers. He said that of those rulers who were in Israel, scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees, zealots, Essenes. He said the same thing, my brothers and sisters, to all the nations. When he said, go forth and teach the nations everything that he commands. Baptize. How about converting people from whatever it is among the nations that they had believed? Because just as it was before, so it is now. The whole world has fallen short of the glory. Who is prepared to receive the reproof of him who discerns indeed absolutely what is the righteousness of Yah? The Apostle Paul basically quoted Isaiah 44:20 and 45:6, saying that he knows nothing of which he is guilty, but he might not be right in this. For he said his judge, one who will ratify yea and nay, if you will. It's also to speak about the coming of Messiah, who will come to reveal those things which men have not considered. He said, and then shall every man know how to praise Yah. I did not say somebody subordinate standard. Believe me, there is no darkness, no variableness, nor shadow of change in the truth of the gospel. Even if the rulers didn't tell you such things as Messiah comes to reprove all the kings, all the priests, and even all those who follow them. Even to open the eyes of the greater truth. It says the Spirit of Yah is upon me to preach good tidings to the meek, to open the eyes of the blind, to release captives. That means reveal the truth that the rulers have kept you in bondage under. Reveal you the truth that you might exceed the falsehood that the rulers have kept you in bondage to, simply by hiding the truth from you necessary to see how all things the Most High declared work together. All the prophecies, like I said, say the Messiah is going to reprove all the rulers, kings and priests, and all those who follow them. How else shall it be that all shall return truly in righteousness unto him? You need to think about it, my brothers and sisters. In the book of Ezekiel, again, there's another prophecy spoke about the one called, well, let me tell you something. They didn't want to tell you what he was really called, but they kept that title. If Rome would have kept that title alive, men would have known what indeed is the expectation of the gospel. Isaiah spoke about it. When he talks about who has stirred up this righteous one from the east, Isaiah 41. And who is it the Most High? Before him will subdue even king. Psalms 110 talks about Messiah after the order of Melchizedek, an everlasting priest, leading everlasting righteousness. Therefore, the one who would oppose all the rulers and all the false rule and all the false doctrines, when men have been beguiled and flattered to think that some standard after man's allegiances, present allegiances, would be called viable. Did you hear what I said? If man is subject to any misrepresentation of the Most High, that won't teach them the fullness of truth, or will teach them any form of an illusion or half-truth to keep people still upon an unstable foundation, it is not the victory. The Most High, my brothers and sisters, said His Spirit teaches all things, no lie in it. The Messiah said, if you're my disciples, you know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I have to ask the question, why are so few seem to know these things, and how is it that so few have given them consideration? What is it that has impregnated the minds, compelled people not to discern? Well, it's been in the book all along. Compel people not to put it together. I feel there's no need to. Most High in Ezekiel 21:27 spoke to the prophet saying concerning this system. Three times, I will overturn it, overturn it, overturn it. And it shall be no more. Talking about the false system of this world ultimately. Until he come whose right it is, to whom it belongs by right. And I will give it to him. I told you before, book of Isaiah speaks of Messiah not coming once or twice, but three times. Once to deliver Israel out of Babylon East, and a second time to deliver them in the latter days out of Babylon West. Hosea said it as well in the 11th chapter. Isaiah said it in the 24th chapter. How many are ready to understand what it means in Isaiah 11th chapter, 10 through 12 verse in particular, when it spoke of Messiah coming a second time to deliver his people, like he did before out of all those territories where they were scattered before? I didn't say somebody else. Scripture speaks of him, calling him the king of the Medes in Jeremiah. You need to read 50:51. Jeremiah, Yirmiyahu, 50:51. One called the king of the Medes that would deliver Israel. To destroy Babylon of the confusion that is divided and deceive the people under misallegiances. Once he will destroy it once and for all. Whoever would do that, my brothers and sisters, is the Messiah. It's the Messiah. Is this one the scripture calls Shiloh? I did not say, when I speak of him, I did not use that word Christ. It is very definitely a polytheist term, a machination of Greco-Romanism. The early church would not have called him a Christ. In fact, my brothers and sisters, one of the terms that was quite commonplace, most people know the term Mashika, Mashiach. My brothers and sisters, one of the terms that was commonplace concerning this one, the Most High anointed for the purpose of bringing his people back to himself, first in conscience and then physically, yes, you heard me, first in consciousness, was an ancient title that goes back way back to the times of Noah. In fact, my brothers and sisters, it goes back so far that most have not understood that it goes all the way back to the times of the dawn of fall, or the dawn of human fall. The Western polytheist society has sought to snuff it out. The faith was not called Christianity, my brothers and sisters, by the early church. It was called Kurdishanya. Did they ever tell you about who was that one called the Kurdi? Did they ever tell you why Messiah called himself the root and offspring of David, the bright morning star? Scriptures that speak of him and call him the son of righteousness that arises in Malachi 4:2. It calls him the angel from the rising sun. The same thing as saying king of the east in Revelation 7:2. And Revelation 16:12-21, they are all Yeshua, my brothers and sisters. Why don't they tell you about this? Because if you knew who the king of the Medes is, you know it's that Parthian, Persian, if you will, king. But the Most High called his anointed in Isaiah 44-45. Remember Isaiah 44:20-45:6 are scriptures that the Apostle Shaul used in 1 Corinthians 4, speaking of Yeshua. But those are prophecies, my brothers and sisters, that come from ancient prophecies concerning one called the Kurdi. The King James Version would call him Cyrus the Great. They're trying to throw you off again. There's a reason why his empire was called Kurdistan. Kur meaning sun, teach meaning rise, kind of like tiki fly. Kind of like the word samach, that which springs forth and arises. Ker meaning sun, kis meaning rise. Shah, king. How about king of the east? Look at the consonants in the word Christianity and understand its ancient root. That Western mind has sought to completely distort so as to preserve all the corruptions of a polytheist, internationally divisive agenda to keep the people divided and conquered. Even divided and conquered, my brothers and sisters, to such a degree everybody's so hopped up about their particular principalities and powers and allegiances that they hate, have been taught innately then, to hate the word of the healer. It's a shocking thing, my brothers and sisters, to understand the reality of what these things are really all about. But as I told you, most times says I need to start laying these things out much more bluntly. Quite frankly, I have oftentimes sought to lay foundation for people to understand what I'm speaking about here. But I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, it's time to lay it out on the line. Some of you have been listening to the show on a regular basis. If you haven't, I tell you, please start going through the archives. We talked about this concept, my brothers and sisters, that you need to realize something. Most High, in the days of Noah, became quite anguished at man. He said the thoughts of men become evil. I didn't say they were intentionally evil. Let's just say wayward continually. Try to tell the truth, try to set things straight, set things in order. People oftentimes wouldn't believe. They already had their own agendas, they already had their own ways, and they saw a lot of misexample amongst other men, and just led men even farther and deeper astray. Noah was a prophet sent from the Most High. People weren't willing to listen. Hey, nobody decided to survive that wrath, but those of the Most High allowed. He called to an ark that they might survive. You need to realize something, my brothers and sisters. What makes you think the Most High is pleased with the array of divergent thinking we see in the world today? Messiah said it would be just like the days of Lot and Noah, the days of the Son of Man. Lot warned a city. Noah warned a world. And the scriptures do say that Messiah will first warn a city in Zephaniah 3, 1 through 5. Numbers 24:14 through 17 through 19. Need that article, Secret City Prophecies, on my website, hiddengospel.com. If you don't see it, sometimes the link breaks a little bit at hiddengospel.com. There's an article called, you'll see it there, Secret City. Sometimes you need to type in THE-city. You'll see it. Numbers 24 speaks about that city. Isaiah 15:16 speaks about that city. Isaiah 19 speaks about that city. 19:18 through 25 in particular. When you see the scripture talking about our curve of Moab in Isaiah 15:16, understand what that's talking about. A place called the City of Destruction. Isaiah 19:18 through 25 speaks about it. Isaiah 24:10 through 16 verse speak about it. Isaiah 27th chapter, 9th through 12th verse speaks about it. Isaiah 66, particularly the 6th to 15th verse speaks about it. Revelation 6:12 through 7:17 speaks about it. Revelation 16:12 through 21 speaks about it. Hosea 11:5 through 12 speaks about it. Amos 3rd chapter speaks about it. Why didn't your pastor tell you about it? Scripture says in advance that they wouldn't, because these words reprove them all in their treachery. Again, the scriptures say Messiah will come for the express purpose to awaken man to a conscience that others would not. It's not within the power of men to raise men to that level of conscience. That's something the Most High himself must do. Scriptures in Psalms 14 and Psalm 53 say Messiah will come because what? The Most High looked upon his children of men and saw there was none who discerned how much they needed to seek Yah. Therefore he said, you have to scatter the bones of hypocrites. But there will be a generation that will see his righteousness. Who out of Zion will give salvation to Israel, it says in that day? And Israel shall be glad. How about reconcile? Isaiah 25, 1 through 3 speaks of it. It says, because of what happens at that city, The people will finally say, this is the Holy One for whom we have waited. This is the one, if you get my point, who removes the veil and the covering of the lies that have been over all the nations, blinding the peoples, keeping them all in bondage, not to be able to see the true King, causing them to despise the concept of the true King of Kings, or King over all kings. King before whom all the kings of the earth must submit. Scripture says, even unto him shall mighty men come, that unto him every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. How many understand Isaiah 45? The scripture says, surely shall one say, in the Most High have our righteousness and strength, even unto him shall mighty men come, and all who insist against him shall be ashamed, and unto him every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear allegiance. It's all prophecy in Isaiah 45 concerning the one called Messiah, brothers and sisters. Philippians says the same. Romans 14 says the same. How many understand that Rome took away that title, Kirtishanya, and came with this title, Christianity, to preserve a corrupt agenda? I want you to understand something, my brothers and sisters. Most High is just as displeased with the thoughts of men today as he was before. And he never said that these lies would ever be a thing pleasing to him. 45,000 denominations, 280 nations, pack of lies. Just simply the way it is. There's a reason why the scripture says in Isaiah 41 he had to call his people from among the prophets, because it's already told you in advance the rulers wouldn't tell you these things. Read Isaiah 41:21 through 42:4 in particular and understand. Isaiah 45 speaks about it too. It talks about all these truths that the rulers wouldn't tell you, so you couldn't put together and understand the plan. The gospel of the Kurdi is the gospel of the one who comes to preach a word pure from above to declare the reign of the Most High. Why didn't they tell you? The scripture says, think about that. This is still talking about the same Most High when he brought his people out of Egypt. Jude talks about, hey, one time you understood this to respect this. If they pervert the grace of the knowledge of Yah, you fall after men's licentiousness in their flesh unto this unbelief. Hey, he said one time you knew this, the Most High, when he brought his people out of Egypt, when they turned toward unrighteousness, turned toward unbelief, turned to what was not true belief in him, he destroyed those who did not believe. And guess what? Only a couple of people, Joshua and Caleb, who were there at the time they came out of Egypt, survived. You ever stop to consider, my brothers and sisters, Most High is only going to accept the holy people upon the holy land? You need to wake up. Scripture talks about two-thirds of humanity perishing, my brothers and sisters, because most have either not heard these things and wouldn't hear them when the time comes. That's Zechariah in the 13th chapter. Yet men believe unto themselves they are prepared. Scripture says he's going to smite all nations with a rod of iron. Mouth like a sharp two-edged sword. Question I ask, my brothers and sisters, when he comes to reprove in a world that is sworn by his name but not in truth nor in righteousness, who will be willing to hear? Isaiah in the 40th chapter says he's going to come in such a manner that all the vanities of the nations come in such righteousness, all the vanities of the nations will fall short. Misimaginations and other nations. Well, quite frankly, all the nations will be counted as vanities. It'd be kind of like a drop in a bucket before him. Worthless, my brothers and sisters. Because they did not, at the end of the fruition of their discipline, bring forth anything with which the Most High would be pleased. Not after somebody else's allegiances. Not after the rule of another king. How many understand the scripture talk about the word of Yah and then call him the word made flesh? We're talking about a direct, independent, disciplined by Yah personality. Much more than words on a page. But everybody wants to interpret those words however they will. And sit back and say they're true to the Most High. The scripture says he comes because the Most High saw no intercessor and none who understood. Meaning, guess what? All your institutions are still yet blind. I want you to hear me, my brothers and sisters. It's time we understand why the scripture talks about in Isaiah 30:10-11. In Isaiah 60:12. The Most High is going to make a full end of all nations that won't hear the light of his righteousness when it's revealed. There's a reason why the scripture says, Yah so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him might not perish. Because guess what? Trust in the others. All of the and doctrines of men and some level of conversion will not be kind of sufficient, my brothers and sisters. The promise of the Most High is he will bring an end to all confusion. The infections of all unrighteousness and all half-truths that lead people to still yet be exploited, he will destroy. This is something that the people understood in the East, that by and large has been forgotten in the West. And I'm going to tell you something, my brothers and sisters. It's time to understand something. All present principalities and powers based upon varied worldly partialities and perversions, which are animosity against the sovereign name and gospel of the Most High according to the truth of his will, or of his rule, will, for holy name, peace, truth, and justice sake, must, in fact, not just will, but must perish. Most High says he's going to make a full end of all nations. He's going to establish a kingdom that will break in pieces all nations. And that kingdom shall stand forever. Why? My brothers and sisters, if there was a throne for Messiah to come to already established, per se, in terms of an organization, would he have to do this? Need to think about it. Yah did not create this world for the vanities of men. He will redeem it unto his glory. He has a right to do so. And he has a right to raise up who he will, that he might give it, that the world be reigned over, ruled over, in justice, according to his glory. This was the understanding and expectation of ancient Kurdistan. The earth belongs to Yah, the fullness thereof. Kurdistan, how many understand that? Ancient Medo-Persian Empire, Achaemenid Empire sometimes. Some people might say, go back a little further and talk about Akkadia. How about, my brother, the Akkadian Empire? Vestiges of it, what they call Sassanid. In English, they say Sassanid, actually Sassanid Empire, after the title of the one called the Shah-Shen-Shah. Some of you know the word Shah means king. Shah-Shen-Shah means king of kings. You know it's an old Persian title, my brothers and sisters? Again, indicating who Isaiah 19 is speaking about. Yet Western rulers of this day have not accepted the truth of this gospel because it didn't talk about the perpetuation of a polytheist Western agenda. These were the ancient dreams and aspirations of ancient Kurdistan, my brothers and sisters, that was raised up under the authority of the Most High and set under the authority of the king he chose. The one he said he stirred up, gave all the kings of the earth to for the redemption's sake of Israel. Isaiah 45 says he is called the servant of Israel for the sake of the Most High servant Israel. Many texts related that way. That all may know from the rising sun to the west is none else but Yah. Well, brothers and sisters, he who can raise up who he will to give the kingdom of the earth to according to his promise will prove that he is the one to be exalted. I want you to understand something. What this is all about, my brothers and sisters, the fact that the rulers among the nations are predisposed and have been predisposed to continue to predispose and condition the people to say that the Most High has no right to redeem this world unto himself and to give it unto the one whom he calls Shiloh, whom he pleases according to his promise. Because they knew full well, the scripture said he'd come out of Zion. That's not Western agenda. Zion is a word that means the flock of the Most High, those who follow him, the Most High, according to all his will. I didn't say after the marks of the beast, the standards of the nation, the word for beast, and troop of animals, and Gentile are one and the same. People who want reason is one with Yah. For man was created, my brothers and sisters, to commune with the Most High. In fact, the ancient word for man, one of them is Manu, and it means God mind, that which is in sync with the Most High. Man was created to commune with his creator. I didn't say in disagreement. Most High did not create the world to be in vanity and chaos and confusion, but that it might give glory unto him, and that his people might dwell in it peacefully. That's what's written in Isaiah 45. You need to think about it. But the Most High told me the whole world has done violence against the law of the Most High. When men have believed in their own imaginations, their own contrivances after their rulers, the multitude of idolatries refusing to tell you the fullness of what is the gospel, hope, and promise. And these miscreant doctrines have denied many generations the hope of the promise, even the hope of life. My brothers and sisters, him who will reward each man as his work shall be is the very one, the true Messiah, that Yeshua said that he is. He said he's a root and offspring of David and the bright morning star, whose prophecies concerning him most have never known, which means they've only known the contrivance of men and a multitude of compromises. It was time to end that compromise, brothers and sisters, because the Most High made a promise according to the fullness of what he has said. And for men to seek any less is animosity against Yah. You need to ask questions, like I said, why the rulers not tell you these things? But this holy expectation concerning the one called the current age, the one called sunrise. In fact, the word samah in Hebrew sometimes is denka in the Aramaic. The Greeks used the word, the Romans used the word anatole. Every one of them relates to one like the branch, that like a branch sprouts, that suddenly sprouts up from the earth. Or like the sun suddenly in its rising, cast out every lie and reveals the truth that the world would obscure. Zechariah, who as a post-exilic prophet came after the reign of that king, as did also Malachi, at 3:8 and at 6:12, Zechariah prophesied of his return, said he would sit upon the throne as king and priest, something that according to Isaiah's prophecies, ultimately, that he never did. You need to think about it, my brothers and sisters. Why does Scripture say in Isaiah 46, remember these things, O you transgressors, Isaiah 46, 8 to 13. Bring them to mind, O you sinners. Do you mind again? Remember these things, O you transgressors. The Most High said indeed that he would raise up a righteous one to perform all his pleasure. And the whole world, like the Scriptures foretold, has forgotten. They didn't tell you these things, my brothers and sisters, that one would judge men according to all the righteousness of Yah, according to all the Most High spoken by his prophets since the world began. They didn't teach you that, my brothers and sisters. They didn't teach you the gospel. Western polytheism, therefore satanic agenda, my brothers and sisters, has always despised what was the aspiration and dreams of the people of the East, who have been part of that ancient Persian Empire. As Greece came in and overtook, even according to all the prophecies said they would. But I'm going to tell you something, my brothers and sisters. This is more, because Rome's seeking to preserve their concept of being eternal, had more in mind than just relating antipathy and propaganda against the Jews and the true believers whose faith was definitively at its foundation Jewish. It's been about dividing all the children of Abraham, my brothers and sisters, and all those who claim to be the children of Abraham. This has been about Western imperialist agenda in terms of creating antipathy against the Jews that had already been scattered in Europe. Antipathy, my brothers and sisters, against all who recognize the true Christianity is very definitely based in true Judaism. In fact, I don't say rabbinical Judaism, but that which the Most High gave his people Israel. In fact, my brothers and sisters, it teaches more than the words, but the meaning. The true faith, Kurdish Shania. I didn't say Christianity, which Rome came up with. It has much more than words, but also why the words were declared. The men might be true to the command of the Most High. Like I said, to know what's said and not know why it says, missed the point. It's been about splintering the East, my brothers and sisters, creating divide and conquer tactics. A lot of what was the blood of Abraham, my brothers and sisters, even by the time Messiah 2,000 years ago, a lot of that blood has been spread throughout the East. Rome wanted to split, if you will, the Jews and the Arabs. They wanted to cause controversy, my brothers and sisters, between Jews and those who walked after pagan beliefs they call Christianity, not true to the Kurdi in Europe. Divide and conquer taxes, my brothers and sisters. What was the purpose? The men all hate the healer because they already have their own agendas. They already have systems they say they survive after. Malachi 3rd chapter speaks about this, about those who say the wicked are well set up, the lawless are well set up, they contempt Yah and yet be delivered. Scripture says those such as these, my brothers and sisters, in the days that you should know the difference between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve Yah and those who serve Him not. It says point blank, my brothers and sisters, that the wicked be ashes under the soles of your feet. The lawless, who refuse that law, be ashes under the soles of the feet of the righteous on the day that he should do it. This has all been about, my brothers and sisters, like I said, causing the people to trust in their vanities wherever they are. West, entirely antithetical against what was the dream and aspiration of the East. Those who look for the return of their king, they call the Kurdi. Your King James Version will call him, in the history book, Cyrus the Great. Messiah said he's the written offspring of David, the bright morning star. Who has bore that title? The one they call Cyrus the Great, my brothers and sisters. There's a CRS, and the consonants of that name. They didn't want to tell you what it really was. Lest the expectation of the one who would come to redeem the world, not according to worldly agenda, should be remembered. If they didn't teach you that gospel, the one who released the captives by opening the eyes, brothers and sisters, they left you to go astray. All the nations have been taught to trust the lie catered in the bondage after the various principalities and powers. All nations have been taught to despise any intimation of biblical doctrine, declaring that the Messiah will not come catering to the various agendas and worldly allegiances of those who, after selfish reasons, have done damning violence against the law. They didn't teach you the expectation of the Most High, my brothers and sisters. They didn't even teach you the faith. And it's by faith in these truths that you shall be redeemed, made whole, confirmed as true unto Yah. But they didn't teach you these things and caused
90 seconds
prideful in their flatteries and how the society flattered men. They made men enemies against discerning the folly. Discerning beyond the folly, that they might discern the truth, in discerning the truth, that men might finally become wise. Like I said, men consider any allegiance to any of the fallen standards of this world to be viable. Man has embodied
60 seconds.
Scripture says he's going to have to draw his people from among the popular prophets because the rulers would not speak these things. Who, my brothers and sisters, in hearing the call of the Most High, will answer wisely? It's time we understand the reality. I know it's a little bit late. I still have a lot more to speak about all these things. Blessed are they who will catch on, my brothers and sisters, of how many machinations have been created by men to divide the people of Yah. I don't have to talk about it right now because I only got about 20 seconds some odd left. But there's more than enough evidence that Islam was a Greco-Roman creation.
10 seconds.
Shocking as that may sound. Most High has intention, my brothers and sisters, to reprimand all the rulers who have misled the people, wherever they have believed. It's been my pleasure, my brothers and sisters, to relate these things to you. I thank the Most High for every ear that He brings near. And to His might, to His honor, and to His praise always. Yes, indeed, my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah.